Are we there yet? Answers the questions on every impatient person's mind. Where are we in this on-chain journey? Are we making the world a better place? Are we building smarter, better, faster things? Are we building valuable businesses? Hop in and join us as we have real talk with real people who are building the things to make a dent in the way the world works. My name is Chris Everly, and this is Are We There Yet?
All right. Welcome to Are We There Yet? From Crypto Sapiens. I'm Chris Everly. Today I am joined by Dylan from Crypto the Game. I've been very excited to get into this episode as I was a finalist in season one of Crypto
Amazing.
The Game. I may have finished just about last of the finalists, but a finalist nonetheless. So Dylan, welcome. Thank you for coming on.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me. And honestly, thank you so much for playing season one. It really means a lot.
It was awesome. I honestly, we'll get into it here, but I feel thankful to have been a part of it. I think it was awesome to see how quickly it went from this, like, what the heck is this thing, to something that so many of us put so much of our days into. And it's super powerful. And, you know, you guys are clearly onto something and you clearly not slowed down in building. So excited to get into this with you.
Yeah. Thanks so much. I think, that's definitely the thing that surprised me the most, was like kind of how fully engaged and 24/7 this thing turned into. But yeah, excited to chat.
Cool. All right. So, you know, a lot of the folks that listen to our show are from, you know, from, they're not as native into the space as you or I, maybe don't spend all day in this stuff and, or, you know, crypto curious things like that. So I wonder, you know, both in terms of, you know, of your backgrounds professionally, your journey to crypto and then eventually into the game, maybe you could, you know, break it down for the normies, sort of who you are and what you're, what you're building.
I mean, yeah, I'm definitely a recovering normie. So this was kind of like, I mean, I've you know, bought and sold crypto for a bunch of years and minted some NFTs a few years ago. But like, this was really my first foray into building something on chain and building something even crypto related. So it's an idea that I had before there was any sort of crypto element attached to it. So can definitely relate to all the normie listeners out there. But cool. Yeah. So, at the highest level, Crypto the Game is a massive internet survivor game where everyone buys in, joins a tribe, competes in daily immunity challenges and votes each other out over the course of 10 days until one person standing wins the entire pot. I, you know, built it for a couple of reasons. I'd say, like, first and foremost, I'm a huge Survivor fan. Have been watching Survivor my entire life. Probably came through in the game. Take a lot of inspiration from that show and from Squid Game and from Hunger Games and a lot of these kind of like tried and true, many will play, one will win style formats. But really just always wanted to play Survivor, go on Survivor. But I think at its core, I just always wanted to play a version of Survivor online with my friends. Just hadn't existed. So I think you're asking a bit about kind of like how I got here, but, started my career in TV. I was, an NBC page out of college and worked at Saturday Night Live. So I don't know if you watch 30 Rock or you know, Kenneth the Page, but,
That's you?
Yeah. Kenneth is basically like a fictionalized version of my first job out of college. So, the desk that Kenneth sat at and worked at, like, looked exactly like the desk that I sat at, you know, 10 plus years ago, but I was essentially like the, assistant for the cast and the guest host and the musical guest for a season. And that's kind of where I got bit by this live TV bug, I guess. I bounced around a bunch of different, like news networks and TV organizations and almost stumbled upon tech by way of HQ Trivia. So if you remember HQ, it was a live mobile game show that, kind of went bonkers viral in, you know, 2018,
bonkers,
2019.
Bonkers viral. Yeah.
Yeah. But really just joined that for the future of live TV and, a live interactive TV network. And so in the same way that HQ took a traditional game show and made it live and mobile and interactive, like the same could have and should have been said for a Survivor format. And, that's where I first had the, earliest impetus for this idea was at HQ and have just been thinking about it ever since.
I love it. And I think the, you know, among the, I think the important things for folks to pick up on what you mentioned is that, you know, the, the impetus for the game, the problem that you're solving, if you will, the excitement around this, right?
Yeah.
This, like, nothing to do with crypto, right? It's more about like building awesome things for people to engage with.
Yeah, I mean, this was an idea long before there was a crypto element tied to it. I think I'm a firm believer that, like, if you're going to build in crypto and specifically a crypto game, you should have the idea first, and then as a founder or builder, decide if crypto makes it more fun or not. In this case, it did, I think. I think if I had sat down on a whiteboard and said, I want to be a crypto gaming founder and like come up with an idea for a crypto game, it never would have resonated, I think, with the masses as much as it did. So that's kind of been my guiding practice throughout this. And I think it will resonate with a lot of your listeners. But yeah, it really just started as like an internet version of Survivor. And I think there are a bunch of reasons why we chose to build it on crypto and for crypto Twitter specifically. But yeah, I think the game was a lot more fun because of it.
Yeah, for sure. And, you know, in a whole bunch of ways, and obviously I know, you know, more about it than most, because I put a lot of time into the game and all of that. But, you know, but I think for folks who, you know, haven't yet played, maybe we'll get them onto Anon Island for season two. But,
For sure.
You know, among the things that maybe are very obvious to us in this space, but that I've heard you say, you know, in other interviews, is that there's really no other way that you could have handled the payment rails or the mechanics of building and then sharing the prize even without crypto.
Yeah, I mean, there definitely were a few reasons why this made so much sense. I think, like, first and foremost, I don't think we're a bootstrapped company. We bootstrapped the prize pot. It was essentially comprised of players buying in for 0.1 ETH, which went towards the pot, and the pot went to one winner. And like, I think it would have been incredibly, incredibly difficult to convince hundreds of Web2 folks to buy into a new game idea on the internet for hundreds of dollars. But it's something that I think our corner of the internet has, I don't know, become pretty accustomed to. But also, it's just like, we're all very ripe, I think, to like novel crypto use cases and new fun internet games and ideas. But yeah, the other reason is exactly your point. Like, we saw at HQ Trivia firsthand, like, the pain points of using traditional financial rails to pay our winners. There were cash out minimums and withdrawal delays, and you know, it just like was a huge pain point for us. So I personally couldn't imagine building an internet game that pays its winners using any other financial rail.
I love it. And it, you know, and inherent in not only the convenience of that is the opportunity for a global footprint, right? The winner from season one is from Japan, not a strong English speaker even, right? So so many you know, aspects of that are pretty exciting.
Yeah, a tough foe for the finale. He seemed to have like won over the hearts of all of his tribe mates with his Google Translate poems.
Yeah, I love it.
Yeah, definitely a heartwarming story.
Cool. What were some of the like I want to get a little bit into like for season one, like expectations versus actuals, and maybe some of the things that you were most surprised by, or most, you know, that were most unexpected for you as things played out literally live during season one.
Yeah, I mean, in terms of expectations, I knew it was really fun. Before we launched, we played a test round, and I knew that if folks played it, they would have the most fun they've ever had on the internet. And I think that was true. I think what I wasn't expecting was the amount of players to sign up for season one. There were a lot of viral loops and growth mechanics kind of like baked into it to make sure it, like, you know, quote unquote, went viral. You know, I kind of expected, you know, 80 or so friends and friends of friends and Twitter followers to see it and play season one. And then they would tweet about it, share it, and then like season two would be the big, you know, the big season because of that. Because the format is unique in the sense that it almost goes viral once entries lock and the game begins. But just the fact that it kind of like ballooned into this 24/7, 10-day game show. Like I might have mentioned this to you, but I think I was expecting that people would hop on in the morning and, you know, compete a bit in that day's immunity challenge, go back to work. Maybe they had an alliance with someone they knew from Twitter or, had worked with in the past, decided who they were going to vote for, log back on that night and, cast their vote. I just wasn't expecting the sheer amount of like, full-blown 24/7 engagement, for lack of a better term. Like I was talking to a player the other day who said that he went on a run once and came back to 3,000 unread messages in his tribe chat, and they were all like, this guy must not be in it to win it, like he's on the chopping block and
he's out.
So yeah, I think like the that level of engagement like completely exceeded all of my expectations.
Yeah, I got to say, as a player, I didn't, you know, I of course didn't know really what I was getting into. I definitely didn't expect to, be moving meetings to, you know, to play fucking Flappy Bird for hours. But maybe more substantively, I didn't expect what, you know, most nights during the game happened, which is being on a live call on Zoom or Google or whatever it was like, depending on where things were in tribe shifting, we were on Discord or Telegram or Zoom or Google, which is kind of, you know, fun to think about in and of itself. But, you know, like an hour or two call pretty much every evening with people that were mostly strangers in this really, really interesting sort of coordination kind of thing that emerged.
Yeah, so I guess that also really surprised me, which is that like it seems like a lot of the tribes coordinated who they were voting out. I always expected, similar to the show Survivor, that like there would be small alliances that formed and you would kind of like know who you're going to vote for. But it seems like, and I know WAGMe is like a big thing in crypto, and I love WAGMe, and this game is uniquely anti-WAGMe in the sense that one person wins. But the fact that the tribe seemingly like all coordinated to decide who they were voting out each night really surprised me. I kind of expected in a game where you're essentially incentivized to eliminate each other that it would be a lot more ruthless and cutthroat than I think it was.
Yeah, it was kind of wholesome in a way.
Yeah, just crazy.
Yeah. And at the same time, I feel like it sort of speaks, you know, obviously I'm super biased because I've been in this space for a minute, but I think it speaks to the, you know, the sort of rapid innovation that happens in this space. It's like, okay, we're early in this game. It probably behooves all of us to just figure out a way to, you know, to collaborate for now and get through this thing. And then at some point all bets are off and you
exactly.
know, we'll see where we go. Like I know I was an OG purple tribe, OG perps myself. And, I knew a couple of the folks in there, but I didn't know most of them, but we really, really quickly got to that place. And I think we were, you know, among the teams that forced the shuffle to happen maybe faster than you planned to, if you had even planned on doing that at all. I forget.
No, I definitely did not plan on a tribe shuffle. I think it was the silver tribe that was the impetus behind the tribe shuffle. And for those that are listening that might not have played, at a certain point throughout the game, after everyone was assigned to their original tribe and everyone was sitting very pretty with their alliances and feeling confident in their spot in the game, we decided to essentially shuffle the tribes and everyone had to form new alliances and scramble. And that is a moment and inspiration from the show that we took, which is that like you never know what's going to happen. And you could be safe one day and then on the chopping block the next, or you could be in a tribe with someone that you have a strong alliance with and you might not be in the same tribe with them the next day. So it really speaks to the fact that I think this is truly a social game where, if you're a shrewd Survivor fan, you'll know that like the tribes eventually merge and it turns to an individual game. And at that point, you need to rely on kind of all of the alliances that you form throughout the course of the entire game to get you to the finale. So it seems like you did a great job of that as someone who made it to the end. But but yeah, the tribe shuffle was not planned.
Yeah. Oh, cool. Yeah. I think, you know, yeah, I was one of, there were what, I think 21 of us were finalists. Is that right?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
I
don't think I slept for one minute over those 10 days. So it's all a bit of a blur, but yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, I knew I was not going to be winning the game. Mm-hmm. I think because like the way that I made it to the end was by being, I think, you know, a little under the radar, cool, you know, engaged, right? You don't want to be one of the AFK people that gets voted off, but so you want to be around and helpful and cool and down, but that also, you know, involves sort of maybe not that'll only get you so far, right? Totally. Like if you're laying low. So I sort of knew that, and then I tried to hook up behind the scenes B Watts, Brian Watson, who was in who I knew a little bit before but got to know more through the game. I tried to push you know, shared friends to sort of put votes towards him. But anyways, yeah. It was
sacrifice yourself.
Yeah, it was like, all right, I was like, all right, you know, it's probably not going to be me. Let's push votes there. But enough about me. But so season one, bigger than you expected, became this 24/7 thing. I think for, you know, for, like took tons of us, you know, off of our daily activities. I loved listening to when you were on with Boys Club with Natasha and Dina. You like disrupted their planned like IRL strategy sessions because they had to focus on the game. Like, it really had an impact on people. You learned a bunch of things. And then what feels like really quickly, you just dropped a teaser for season two. So you're learning, you're iterating. What can you tell us about what season two is going to look like? When season two?
Yeah. So, it's going to launch, in April, which we're super excited about. We just dropped like a coming soon trailer on Twitter just to, you know, maintain the excitement and engagement and keep people on their toes. But, I'd say similar to Survivor, like the high level idea of each season where a lot of people join, you compete daily in challenges and you vote each other out until the last person wins the pot, will always stay the same. But, each season will have its own creative twist. So, season two, we're calling Anon Island, mostly because it's a very fun, catchy name that I love, but also, because we're, for the first time, we're giving players the chance to play fully anonymously. So unlike season one, where the extent of the crypto mechanics was essentially sending 0.1 ETH to our multisig to buy in, and we paid 90% of that to one winner. For season two, you'll mint an NFT, which will be your spot in the game. And when you get voted off through the metadata, we'll switch that from a player NFT to a jury NFT. But similar to hedging a parlay, you could hypothetically sell your NFT at any point throughout the game to quote unquote cash out, or like, probably get back more than you paid to buy in because you're hypothetically closer to the finale. So it gives like this increased game mechanics and social dynamics and potential chaos, but, I'm really excited for it.
Yeah. Oh, that's on a number of levels. That sounds fun. And it's interesting. So the previous episode of this podcast was with the guys from Open Season, which is a Web3 sort of enhanced battle royale game. So a very different corner of the gaming universe. However, it came to mind as you were describing these NFT sort of Game Pass things and the mechanics of, you know, where you get in a game, like increasing the value of an NFT is sort of there's some interesting sort of parallels there.
Awesome. I think it kind of like speaks to the spirit of crypto a bit more than season one, in the sense that there's like a financial incentive to play and survive a bit longer, whereas there wasn't for season one. There was this instance in season one where hundreds of bots signed up and we banned them, and it was a bit controversial. I think a lot of true crypto believers think that like the spirit of crypto is embracing that and maybe seeing a humans versus bots season play out. So we're just trying to kind of, like I said, embrace the spirit of crypto a bit more with season two and bring on the chaos.
Right on. You know, I, for what it's worth, I feel like you guys did a an incredibly good job of reacting in real time to all of the various things that came your way, including the dude that had dozens of bots in the game, to all, you know, to all the other stuff that, like, this industry is nuts, right? Like, you're gonna get there's no way that you can expect for season two as well, right? You're gonna get hit with stuff. So for what it's worth, I think you guys did a pretty darn good job of handling these things, and then handling them in public, right? And and, like, what else can you do?
Yeah, thanks so much. Yeah. It's definitely a crash course in PR. But it seems
hey, and you know what? And you got a lot of press. I saw when the teaser for season two went out, you got a lot of replies with in. I know a bunch of folks that I know were among the people replying. So it seems like there's a pretty good buzz there. Like, even, you know, knowing that you can't know what to expect in this wacky world, like, what are some of your expectations or goals for season two?
Yeah, I think this format is unique in the sense that we can't just launch like an open edition mint and have 30,000 people buy in and try to play this game. I think the game is like specifically designed for you know, that sweet spot of hundreds to low thousands of players. The worst case scenario would be to have 3,000 people on your tribe and feel like you're randomly selecting who to vote out in a sea of PFPs. So we are definitely going to cap the entries for season two. I'm not going to disclose that too soon to give potential Sybil attackers a heads up, but yeah, I think we're just kind of like trying to walk that fine line between supply and demand and capped versus uncapped, and maintain the spirit of the game for the players and not just like cash out basically. But I'm expecting a ton of engagement again and a ton of tweets about it, and I think like it's just like a really exciting time to be building in crypto again.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, if I recall correctly, I mean, when you launched season one, we weren't quite yet in this crazy run.
No,
right?
Not at all. Yeah, it's been incredible timing. I shared this idea with a few folks in the space a couple months before I decided to like properly build it, and a lot of the reactions were, I don't know, maybe wait for the bull market. Like, I don't think this is going to do well in a bear market. And, we kind of just lucked out in the sense that I almost ignored that and thought that the idea would speak for itself. And there were enough people still lurking around crypto Twitter to take a chance on a fun game. But, that's the other thing. I don't really know what to expect assuming things stay as amazing as they are in the market by the time season two launches. Like, if there are just that many more things going on, I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing, because I feel like we uniquely were able to like capture the attention of most of crypto Twitter in a time where like nothing else was really going on quite yet.
Yeah.
So we'll see.
I wanted to get a little into, you know, the whole idea of are we there yet as a podcast is sort of to get like takes from people who are, you know, who are right in the thick of it on sort of where this is all headed. And I'd love to get from you in terms of gaming, in terms of live TV, in terms of any of the areas where you've got, you know, experience and passion and all that. Like, where do you see this all going? What are some, I don't know, hot takes or predictions, wherever you want to go with the question, but I just love for folks to get a sense of where you see this all headed.
Yeah, I definitely don't think we're there yet. I would say some like rough, like back of the napkin math for season one is that about 5 to 10% of players, this was their first experience in crypto and they created a wallet to play this game. And that's because either they were a friend of mine or a friend of a friend or a fan of HQ trivia that like followed me on Twitter and wanted to see what I was up to next, or loved the show Survivor and always wanted to play a version of it online. But the overwhelming response from all of them was like, this was so much fun and like I'm going to spend so much more time like playing around in crypto now because of it. So in that sense, we're definitely not there. But I think this idea of like taking I don't want to call them Web 2 ideas, but taking ideas that don't necessarily have crypto with them at the onset and bringing them on chain is the first step in truly onboarding the masses. So, it's a wild undertaking, but like the biggest idea for this thing is like some version of Ready Player One, where we figure out a way to make the entire world play it live at the same time, and they're all competing for some jackpot and prize. And I think we slowly do that with like incrementally fun and on-chain seasons. And I very intentionally didn't want season one to be too on-chain, and I think we're going to incrementally get more on-chain with each season. And yeah, that's kind of the way to do it. So are we there yet? No. Is this the future of game shows and live TV? Maybe. I still think that like the fact that people are texting to vote on talent competitions and watching other people compete in game shows and reality shows is just so antiquated. And the future of game shows and TV is definitely a version in which the masses can actively participate in that content.
Yeah, man. I love it. I love it. And thank you for the sound bites, by the way. I definitely don't think we're there yet either. And I hope to do this this podcast for a long time. Spoiler alert, that's sort of the idea, right? We got a ways to go. We got a ways to go on this road.
Imagine I was like, hey, I think we're there.
Good. We did it. We're done. We're good. I wanted to get into, you know, for folks who are listening that are, you know, thinking about building something, thinking about trying to, you know, take their experience and passions and turn it into building something. I think, you know, this is more of a question just around, you know, Dylan, the founder versus necessarily the, you know, crypto, the game founder. What advice would you have to, you know, young potential builders? God.
I would say it's like, it's the hardest thing I've ever had to do was to like take the leap and like overcome the cold start problem and like put something of mine out into the world and hope that people would play it. But it's been by far like the most fulfilling thing of my entire career. I like quote unquote went viral, like working at other companies and on behalf of other founders, brands and ideas for my entire career. I just felt like this was one of those ideas that like, if I didn't build, someone else would. And like, if not me, the obsessive Survivor fan who spent a career in live interactive TV that has like so much conviction around this idea, it, like if not me, then who? And like if not now, then when? And I guess my biggest piece of advice or like biggest takeaway from this is like try to build something that like you're truly passionate about. I think this is it's just one of those ideas that kept coming up in the back of my mind, like in between every job. And I've been talking about it for 6-7 years to like anyone that would listen. And I think I don't know that I would have had as much fulfillment and fun just trying to build anything. Find something you're passionate about and convince yourself that like you're the only person in the world that can do it and you're the best in the world at what you do, and take the leap. It's I don't know, it's been really, really, really fun.
Right on. And it seems like it, at least in this case, part of the winning formula is pull in some awesome people that you've been in the trenches with in previous professional lives, right?
Yeah, for sure. You're what's the saying, like your network is your net worth. And I definitely like reached out to everyone I've ever worked with or worked for or, you know, done partnerships with or went to school with or, you know, spoken about Survivor with and told them about this and that it was launching. And I definitely spammed a lot of people on Twitter, but it worked. And it was one of those things where I knew, like I said, I knew that if people played it, they would have fun. So I never felt grifty or anything like that. So worst case, it's fun. It's kind of like what I've been telling myself.
That, I mean, hell yeah, honestly. Well, and like, right, and we didn't know each other before this. And I put my ETH in the game and played the game and had a blast. It turned out, actually, I will share for folks that we talked about before we went on the air, but when I saw your hat, I was like, oh,
yeah, you shout know, out Loop.
You know, let's give a free commercial, man. Nick Gallo, the whole team at Loop, yeah. Right? So we know some amazing people in common. But yeah, I mean, I think you put something out into the world that led a whole bunch of us to have a whole lot of fun, and it's awesome to see to be like one small part of it and sort of see where it goes from here. So
I don't think it's a small part. Right. Season one finalist is iconic. If we do an all-stars season, we'll definitely have you on.
I added it to my Twitter profile. It's funny, actually.
I saw that.
And I joked with you on Twitter that I was going to add it to LinkedIn, and no joke, when I went to do that, it was when LinkedIn was down. So we could argue that maybe we broke it because people were so excited to see my season one finalist.
I don't know. Our two followers on the Crypto the Game LinkedIn page. I don't think it was us.
But I will go add that. There's like a skills and awards or something
for
like that.
Sure. Logos, who came in second place in season one. He's a former esports gamer and like really played this game well and like knows how to make things happen on the internet. And recently tweeted that he's launching his own startup in the space. And like, I honestly think because of the fact that he was a finalist in season one, like a lot of VCs that played asked for intros to Logos, and he clearly knows what he's doing. So like there's definitely, I don't know, there's some crazy stat that like some of the most successful people are like former gamers because of the similarities between like building a company and playing a video game. But the unique skill set that it takes to do well in a digital survival game, I think, kind of just like it's definitely a nice skill to have. I for that's, sure would not well. Have made the finale. I'm so bad at Flappy Bird.
Oh yeah, for folks who don't know, you mentioned it a little bit, but yeah, like there were a wide variety of challenges for us to do when we were playing the game, but two of them were playing actual digital games. One was Pac-Man, which I did pretty well at. One was Flappy Bird, which was the struggle was real. There were moments when I was like, "That's I'm done. I'm done today. Like these kids are way too good.
I can't get past one, honestly, in Flappy Bird." But that's like my favorite part of Survivor is the diversity of challenges. So there's physical challenges, mental challenges, social challenges, auction challenges, and we knew we needed to have a nice diversity of crypto puzzles, classic arcade games, scavenger hunts, IRL stuff, and kind of just like play to everyone's unique strengths.
Oh, and hiding things in images that you have to manipulate to see things that lead you to a private key. Like, so really, really fun puzzles too. So
yeah, thanks
pretty
so
great.
Much.
Pretty
Thank
great.
You.
Well, Dylan, thank you so much for coming on. Really, really appreciate getting into this, both, your personal journey and the, advice for other folks, but then obviously getting into the game. Thank you again for, on behalf of everybody for season one, myself included. And yeah, man, sincerely stoked for season two. Really,
Amazing.
Really appreciate the way that you guys are building, and stoked to see it grow from here.
Cool. Thank you so much again for playing. And if anyone's listening and wants to check us out for season two, we're just cryptothegame.com.
There you go. Yeah. And we'll include links in our show notes and the YouTube posts to your website, to Twitter, anywhere else. So Loop, we'll throw a free commercial in there for the Loop guys. No, we'll charge Nick for that.
Yeah. Nice.
Cool.
Sweet. Glad I wore this
awesome.
Hat. Awesome.
There we go.
Talk to you soon.
Thanks very much, man. Really
Bye,
appreciate
Chris.
It.